14, the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's bow for just a brief word of prayer. Pray with us and for us at this point. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name, thanking You once again for what You have done. What You did this morning, what You're doing presently, even in the service tonight, we're grateful. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, to preach the Word of God, to live in front of this congregation the life that is necessary to be an example to them. Lord, I pray that we'll try to do those things which please You. Keep Your commandments so that we can ask and receive, Lord, from You. And Father, we pray now that You'll direct our thoughts to this awaiting congregation. Get personal with us. Help us to know what to say, what not to say. And Lord, I pray there'll be no fair show of the flesh. I pray tonight that You, Lord, could get glory from the meeting this evening. And I'll thank You and I'll praise You for it. We're asking in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, sometimes we're seeing God move, and we want God to move. I believe every saved person wants to see God move. I don't believe they just want to see God move. I believe they also want to be involved in that move of God. We're not observers, we're participators. We're a part of the work of God. We have been recipients of the work of God, and we want to see the work of God going on in our present day and also into the next generation. I am thrilled beyond explanation to see some of our young girls and boys getting serious about the Lord, seeing them make trips to the altar and give testimony of a work of God in their heart. I can't put into words what that does to this preacher, because they are the church of tomorrow. They're the ones that could be the teachers and preachers and deacons and singers and position holders and witnesses and missionaries in the very near future. And I'm just tickled. Amen. We've not had to give them any kind of bribes to talk them into it. I'll tell you what it is. I believe there's been some folk praying. I believe there's been some people getting a hold of God. And I'll tell you what else. They've been exposed, Brother Crang, to the presence of God. The presence of God will do more in 5 seconds than we can do in a lifetime with our efforts. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you, I like it. Amen. Not just our young people, but I see different ones of our adults fired up, moving up, stepping up, and ready to go up. Amen. Ready to speak up for the glory of God. But we want Him to work. RBT's not content to just come and shout. We're not content to just come, my friend, and see God move and have the choir to sing and have the teachers to teach and the preacher to preach and to see that happen. We want to see God take this church and its influence and circle the globe with it. You say, preacher, I don't know that that's possible. We're just so, so small in light of and in comparison to the big picture. Yeah, but you're looking at the wrong people. You're looking at how little we are. You're looking at our numerical value. You're looking at our offerings. You're looking at our resources. I just want to remind you, we are small. God called us because we're small. If we'd have been big, God probably would have never knocked on our door. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, He chose those that you would never thought God would even be interested in. That's the one He called. That's the one He looked at. That's the one He's invited. Why? So that no flesh would glory in His presence. Amen. Yes, we are small and we're getting bigger, praise God. But I want to tell you, hallelujah, we've got a big God that cannot get bigger. Amen.
man that God we serve. He can't get smaller. He can't decline. He can't decrease. He can't, my friend, lose ground. He can't lose his grip. He can't lose nothing. Amen. He can't even lose me. Praise God. Amen. Those of us I've saved, he said, I've lost none. Amen. He cannot get small. He can't get no bigger. There, listen, that's right. Listen, you can't exaggerate God. You know, when you exaggerate something, means you tone it bigger than it is. Hey, use your adjectives. Exhaust your vocabulary. And you still not even brush the surface of how big God is. Amen. We can't comprehend with our little old human brains how big God is. And that big God is wanting to do big things in our day. He really is. Do you believe that? I believe that. And anyway, hallelujah. I done been blessed. We done got blessed. Amen. Done blessed again. Just got blessed again. But I thought about this. Give him a reason to work. Give him a reason. You want him to work? You want him to move? In your life personally, in your family, or in our church collectively, or in our community, or in our country, give him a reason. Give him a reason to move. I want to tell you, it's very evident, I think, in most churches that people are giving him a reason not to move. Now, you'll have to agree with me tonight. Surely, what most churches are seeing is not what God is wanting to do. Amen. Now, I'm just be honest with you, and I say this very carefully, because we do want to give God the glory for what He's doing here. That's why we're trying to learn that memory verse. You should have already learned it by now. Psalm 115 and verse 1, that's going to be it. Amen. We're going to quote it often, because we're going to keep the old flesh in check. Because we're going to give God the glory. Not me, not man, nobody. We're going to give God the glory and the credit and the praise. But you know, there's a lot of churches will go through their whole existence and never see what this church saw last Sunday night. They'll go through their whole existence and never see and not want to see and be content not to see what we saw last Sunday night and what we have experienced even here tonight. They're satisfied with the liberal. They're satisfied with the dull and the dead. They're satisfied with the dry. They're satisfied with that. This brother here from up in Maryland will testify that's the way it is up there. Hard to find any church that's got any life in it. God surely is wanting to do more than He's doing. And I want to say to us, lest we get content, God's wanting to do a whole lot more here than He's doing. He's doing great things. I can't hardly sleep about it. I'm telling you, and Brother Joshua said, I'm pumped. Amen. That'd be just a good word to learn. Amen. We pumped. Amen. We pumped. We're fired up. Amen. I like it. I like it. But guess what? What God is doing compared to what God is wanting to do is incomparable. God's wanting to do bigger things. Listen, if God done everything He wanted to do, there wouldn't be one lost people leave this service tonight. Every lost person in this building to get saved. Amen. Listen, not one person here that's saved, that's cold in your heart toward the Lord, not one of you getting your car tonight that way. You'd leave here fired up. You'd leave here on fire for the Lord. God's going to do great things. But He's waiting on a reason. Give Him a reason to move. Give Him a reason to move. Look in our text if you would. And there's a lot of verses that would serve as text for this thought. But this one seems to bear it out. The Lord put it in our heart for it. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. There's two words that sticks out to me that I'd like to draw attention to you at least at this point in the message. And that is the word if and the word then. You see it? You still have your Bibles open? You see it? If my people. If is a word signifying condition. If my people, God's waiting on a condition to be met. And then, verse, on down in the verse, he said, once my people meets the right criteria or condition, then will I. Or put up the if my people next to the then will I. I'm telling you, that's big.
Amen?
But it's hard to believe that the little word if could get in the way of the big word then. Amen. No telling how big that word then is. No telling what's behind that word then. We know who said it. We know who's sitting ready to move. It's the one that said, then will I. That's God. That's God. If is attached to us. Then is attached to God. The if of people is hindering and standing in the way of the then of God. If my people, then will I. If my people, then will I. If my people will get to where they need to be and give me reason, I will move. Amen. If my people, oh yes, friend, we need Him to work. I just wrote these down there just right before I left the house. I just jotted these down as far as reasons that we could give God not to move. We ought to run from these. We ought to mark them. We ought to be more afraid of these than we are a rattlesnake. Here, listen. When we have division, when we have disunity, we're giving God a reason not to move. Listen, the judgment seat of Christ will only reveal how many people probably that's in hell that slipped through the cracks of a disunified church and a divided church, a fussing and fighting church. That's not the will of God. That's not the will of God. Oh, listen, church. And I want to tell you, friend, we've got a good church and it's growing and I'm grateful, but we're all people of different personalities and we've all got nerves. Some of you don't have too many and the ones you do have is curling up on the end. Amen. Amen. But I want to tell you, friend, you better watch it because you're in a congregation with people with different likes and different dislikes and different personalities, and it'd be easy to get on somebody else's nerves. It'd be easy to say something to offend somebody. It'd be easy for unforgiveness to creep in. It'd be easy for evil speaking to get in. It'd be easy for a bad attitude to get in. And before you know it, you got division. Before you know it, you got disunity. And guess what you've done? You give God a reason not to move. Amen. God will never go over top of division and disunity to make a move. Are you listening? And then I wrote down the word defilement. When people willfully, and by the way, sin is a matter of will. It's not a matter of force. It's not a matter of accident. It's not a matter, my friend, that you just stumbled around and accidentally wound up in a life of sin. Sin is a matter of choice. Amen. Sin is a matter of choice. Listen, write this statement down. It's choices, not chances, that'll determine your future. Amen. Well, preacher, I'm just going to get out here and do this, and I'm going to flirt around with sin, and I'll take a chance on how I'm going to turn out. There are no chance. You flirt with sin, you'll be the loser. You flirt around and play with fire, you'll be the one that gets burned. Can a man take fire in his bosom and be burned? The answer is no. Listen, you can't do that. And I'll tell you what defilement will do. And listen, no, let's not get so sanctified tonight that we don't hear this. Listen. It don't matter how close we are to God right tonight. I'm going to tell you, we all have the potential of being in a mess within 12 hours. We can be in a mess spiritually before, my friend, we go to bed this evening. Yes, sir. If you give your flesh an inch, it'll take a mile. If you give your flesh a little loose rope, I promise you it'll keep it tight. It'll keep pulling on it. All you can give it, it'll just keep pulling it. And before you know it, you run out of rope and you're in the ditch. Your life's in a wreck and you wonder what in the world happened. Oh, defilement. defilement. You're to hate sin in your life. I pray it often. I pray it often. God, help me to hate sin and to love righteousness. I pray that often. God, help me to hate sin and to love righteousness. Amen. Defilement. Have we not all here tonight seen how that defilement has drained us and depleted us of power and fellowship with the Lord? Oh, there's been times if I could have kicked myself, I would have sure liked to have, because I listened to the flesh. I leaned on the flesh. I was led by the flesh. I was lied to by the flesh. And that, my friend, guess what? Turned around and there I was. My friend, the flesh in control. The spirit defeated. And guess what? My friend, defilement had come in. My fellowship with the Lord was broken. I couldn't talk to Him. He wasn't close to me. I wasn't close to Him. Defilement gives God a reason not to move. Amen. We need to be sanctified and purged from these things. Meet for the Master's use. God will not overlook and bypass sin to work. Now listen, we're careful to give God the glory here at RBT, what He's doing. I really am, and you are too. But I promise you, God wouldn't be moving today like He's been a-moving over the past few weeks if there hadn't been somebody making some on-purpose choices to turn from sin and make some steps in the area of righteousness. God is a God of grace, yes. What God's doing is gracious. He's merciful. He could never give us what we deserve. I know that. But I still believe that He'll honor practical righteousness. People making an on-purpose decision to live clean and holy before God. Now listen, friend, we're in a free country. Thank God for it. You can live as loose as you want to. You know that? Nobody's got handcuffs on you. Nobody's got a noose around your neck. You can go as far as you want to go. You can go home tonight and look at whatever you want to look at. Through the week, you can say words out of your mouth, whatever words you want to say. Nobody's standing around with a gun at your head saying, if you say these words, I'll kill you. Or if you say these words, we're going to throw you in jail. You're as free as you can. But listen, you're free. You can do it. Amen? And you better watch that freedom. You better not use your liberty as an occasion of the flesh. You better watch that freedom, dear friend. Amen. But anyway, there's defilement. Let me hurry on. There is distance. When distance comes between you and the Lord, you're giving Him a reason not to move. When you have distance to come between you and the Lord. Here's another one, disobedience. When you have disobedience in your life against the known will of God, the revealed Word of God, guess what? You're giving God reason not to move. Now here I want to ask you something. Why would a child of God give God a reason not to move? Why would a child of God want to give God reasons not to move when our children so desperately need Him? Why would anybody want to give God reason not to move when our homes are on such attack from the powers of darkness? Why would we want to give God a reason not to move when He's the answer for today's problems? When He's big enough, when He's strong enough, when He's powerful enough to do what needs to be done. But He's limited and He's hindered, my friend, because of His people. He started out by saying, if my people... Disobedience. Distance. Here's you another one. Desires. When we have desires in our life that are carnal and fleshly and worldly and selfish and sinful, we're giving God reasons not to move. God delights to move on His people. God delights to move in His people. God wants to work, I'll tell you, He does. He delights to do that. Meet with His people, work in His people. I'll tell you, listen, God said in Psalm 37:4 that He'll give you the desires of your heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Oh, listen, friend. If we don't have the desires that are spiritual and proper and right, guess what? We're giving Him a reason not to move. Amen. When we're doubting, another word, when we're living in doubt and unbelief, the Bible said that He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. When we're doubting, when there's decline, when your life spiritually is in reverse, instead of gaining ground, you're losing ground. And you ought to pay attention. Let me give you a little piece of advice right here. All of us, me included. You ought to make you some spiritual mark somewhere in your life that you can keep your eye on so you can tell if you're moving or not. If you're out in the middle of the ocean and you don't have no landmarks, you don't have no references, you can't tell where you are, how you can't tell what direction you're going in, you can't tell you can't tell if you've drifted. But if you've got some places that you can look to and say, hey, that won't move. That's always going to be right. That's always going to be there. And I want to keep my eye on that because I can tell by referencing my life to that whether I'm drifting or not. Amen? Boy, that's a message in itself. But you could use your devotions as one of those reference marks. When you realize that you went without devotions, and it's amen. And you haven't prayed, guess what? That right there ought to let you know that you're headed in the wrong direction. Listen, giving Him reason not to move with decline. Oh, this is not a time, church. Listen, this is not a time for us to back up. This is not a time for us to be going backwards. Listen, listen. This is a time for us to go forward for the glory of God. But I want you to look, if you will, in verse 14 quickly. He identified some problems that will condition whether He moves or not, Brother Matt. The first one is, God is letting us know that He's got a people problem. He said, if my people, not if the heathen, not if the pagan, not if the government, not if the ragheads. Are you listening? But what about my people? God is wanting to know about His people. If my people, and I'll be honest with you, the only reason God is not moving on a lot greater scale tonight is because of His people. We need to give Him reason to move. Why? Because of who we are. We are His people. And the Bible said that those that are His people are identified like this. They are called by His name. Does that mean anything to you that you bear the name of Christ? Everything you do in life reflects on Him. Every choice you make will either make Him look good or bad. We're bearing His name. Listen, if my people, God has got a people problem. If you don't believe that, you ought to just travel a little bit and go to some of these churches, amen, that's around here, and go to some of the churches that I preach in even. And then you'll find out, buddy, there's a big people problem. God's people are not hungry. They're not wanting more. Amen. I've told several churches down through the years, and I wasn't being a smart aleck. I told them on the first night of the meeting, if you don't want nothing, please tell me tonight so I can go home. I don't want to waste ever how many nights down here preaching to a people that don't want nothing. I said, if you don't want nothing, you don't want to get no closer to God, you don't want to deal with your sin, tell the preacher so he can tell me to just go on to the house. Amen. If my people, most of God's people, they're not hungry. They don't want no more. They're not hungry, and they're not humble. And they're not honest. And they're not holy. And they're of no help. In fact, they're a hindrance. There's your bunch of H's. Amen. Don't ask me to repeat them. But He said, if my people, he said, I've got a people problem. My people's either the one that's going to loose me or bind me. It is my people that's going to give me freedom to work or will hinder me from work. See, God's people can quench the Spirit, grieve the Spirit. The devil can't do that. We need to quit blaming the devil. We need to quit blaming the darkness. We need to quit blaming the difficulties of life. Well, preacher, if you understood what's going on in my life, you'd understand why I never testify, why I never pray, and why I haven't read my Bible in 2 weeks. No. My people. My people means they're mine. I own them. Why should we listen to the preaching? Why should we get serious about serving God? It's because you are not your own. You belong, I belong to Him. He said, you're my people. You've been bought with a price. You know what's killing churches today? You know what's killing churches? It's His people acting like they're their own people. If we're His people, then He has rights over us. He has the right to tell us don't do this and do that and stop this and start that. He has the right to do that. If my people... Anyway, let's move on. I want to hurry. I don't want to keep you here all night, honestly. Not only did he say in verse number 14, I've got a people problem, but also he said, I've got a pride problem. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. God is never going to use anybody that's not humble. Listen, one of the strongest statements I believe ever made in the Bible is in James 4. I believe it's verse 6. God resisteth the proud. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Amen. Show me in the Bible anybody that prospered that was prideful. Find them through the Scriptures where God judged them, buddy, when they were prideful and thought they were something. And they boasted of themselves. But there's a pride issue if humble themselves. And then there's a prayer issue. He said, I've got a people problem, a pride problem, and then I've got a prayer problem. He said, the reason I'm not moving is people's not giving me a reason to move by praying. Amen? I plan on dealing with this in a few minutes, but I'm going to deal with it right here. You ready? And it's just simply the thought of prayer. Prayer gives God a reason to move. Ask, Matthew 7 and verse 7, ask and ye shall receive. Ask is your part. Receive is God's part. God says if you don't ask nothing, you don't receive nothing. If you don't ask nothing, God says I can't do nothing because you didn't ask. I can't give you what you did not ask for. Even though God knows before we ask what we have need of, the Scripture says that. He knows that. We're not praying to inform Him. We're not praying to give Him advice. We're not praying to give Him suggestions. He's God. We're praying to invite Him. We're praying because God has so set it up in His Word that if we will ask, we will receive. Let me give you this verse of Scripture right here. I'm not going to preach on it because I'm going to preach on it later. I ran across it yesterday in my devotions. In 1 John 3 and verse 22. Powerful prayer verse. Powerful prayer verse. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. That's for self. But listen to this. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. There's you a prayer verse that'll help you to know how to get your prayers answered. Amen. But he said, I've got a people problem, a pride problem, and a prayer problem, but also I've got a pursuit problem. Seek my face. Seek my face. How many people go to church and don't seek the face of God? How many people gets up in the morning and goes throughout the whole day and never stop to seek the face of God? Pursuit problem. We're after everything else. We're interested in everything else. And we wonder why God is not moving.
Give him a reason. Amen. Give him a reason to move. And then there is a purity problem. A purity problem. He said, and turn from their wicked ways. Revival is not distant. God moving is not distant. It's as close as us dealing with our sin. That's how close revival is. That's how close God moving is, God working. It's as close as us dealing with sin. And guess what? Your flesh don't want to deal with it. Your flesh likes it. Amen. Mine does too. Yours does. That's why we're not to walk in the flesh. That's why we're not to live after the flesh, is because your flesh is wicked, it's depraved, it's ungodly, it's against God, it's against the Bible, it's against holiness, it's against it all. And if you listen, give yourself to the flesh, you'll be shocked one day what you ended up doing. I hope you heard that. But then he said, if my people, then will I. Give him a reason to work. Let's give him a reason to work. I believe some have been doing that, Brother Brian. Let's keep doing that. Let's keep doing that. So listen, how do we do it? Here, let me just give you these quickly. I'm not going to preach on them long. Let me just give them to you quickly. First of all, we give him a reason to work by asking. And I already dealt with that. To ask nothing is to receive nothing. And to ask nothing, to receive nothing, brings about a person that will not be discontent if they don't get nothing. Think about it. If you don't ask nothing, you won't receive nothing. And a person that don't ask nothing is not looking for nothing. So therefore, they're not disappointed when they get nothing. Did you get that? A person that asks nothing is not going to receive nothing because they're not looking for nothing. And therefore, they're not going to be disappointed when they don't get nothing. And most people go to church and don't get nothing, never gets in their car disappointed. How many people gets in their car disappointed because church was dead and dry and dull and you didn't hear from God? To ask nothing is receive nothing because you look for nothing. And if you don't look for nothing, then you won't be disappointed when you get nothing. Amen. You ought to got that by now. All right. So we give him a reason by asking. Let's step it up a notch. All of us in our church. And I've tried to do that. Let's step our prayer life up. I know you're busy. I know you got burdens. I know you got obligations. I know you're running wide open. And who's not? Are you listening? I'm telling you right now, my life ain't nothing but a blur, it seems like. It's just, shoom, you know? That just seems like the way it is. Yours is too. It's not just me, it's us. And if we're not careful, busyness will get in the way of blessings. We'll be cumbered about with much serving, and we'll not take the time as did Mary and sit at the feet of Jesus and hear His Word. Friend, listen, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. Let's give Him a reason to work. Let's keep giving Him a reason. Let's keep giving Him a reason. Why? Because when prayers goes up, blessings come down. Amen. Nothing leaves heaven until something leaves earth. Let's bless Him. Let's praise Him. Let's send up prayers. Amen? Here's another way, quickly. Number one, not only asking, but number two, sowing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Apollos watered. Let me just read. I was going to try to quote it there, and I got them two messed up. Y'all wouldn't have done that, would you? I have planted, Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Amen. God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything nor he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. God can only give increase to seed sown. How do we give God a reason to work? Sow the seed. The Bible says that the Word of God is the seed. The field is the world. And you and I are the sowers that go forth to sow. Nothing wrong with the seed. Nothing wrong with the seed. This Bible will still get the job done. Nothing wrong with the seed. Amen. And what we need to do is sow, and what God will do is give an increase. If we want to give Him a reason to work, let's sow the seed of the Word of God. I thought that was good. Here's you another way. Give Him a reason not only by asking and by sowing, but give Him a reason to work By giving. I'll get quiet right here probably. But I'm not meaning it to be instructive. I mean, or destructive, but instructive. I want it to be encouraging to you. Sometimes, you know, when you get seeing gas prices go, we was in Fletcher this week and it was $3.98 for regular. That's stupid. That's ridiculous. I don't want to get on that. That'd get me. I don't know if I'll be in the flesh or in the spirit. In the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. That burns me up, I'll just be honest with you. Hey, man, that just fire. I'd like to be president for about 30 days. I'd like to be president for about 30 days. I promise you it'd be different. I may not live past that, but I'd like to have it for about 30 days. Amen. But anyway, given. Listen to this verse right here, verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 9. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And that's what God said about giving. Listen, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now watch this. That's our part. We're doing that. And verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace, the word grace there is the word used for giving. Amen? And that's so in other verses of other passages. But and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. God has said, I am able to make all giving abound towards you. Why? That ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in to every good work. God says, here in a promise, He said, if you give, then you're giving me a reason to have to work in your behalf. I told you the other night, that's the reason I'm going to keep giving to missions. I'm going to keep tithing and giving to God. That's what scripturally is. Listen to what scripturally is. Because when I do that, it locks God into a promise to take care of me. And if I've got God taking care of me, I'm in good hands. Because the God that takes care of me is the God that took care of the children of Israel, 2.5 million people, when there was no grocery stores, no hospitals, no doctor's offices, no gas stations, no cars, no clothes stores. He took care of them. He fed them. He clothed them. He protected them. He led them for 40 years. He watered them. Amen. Brought water out of a rock, and the rock followed them. And that's pretty good. He didn't just bring water out of a rock. He allowed the rock to follow them. And the water... Amen. Listen, folks, Lord, to be encouraged tonight. I'm not jumping on nobody. I'm just simply saying, friend, I'm going to make a deliberate choice in spite of the economy. I want to continue to give scripturally because God is obligated. I use that word right. God is locked in with a promise to take care of me. He said, if I sow bountifully, I will reap bountifully. And if I sow sparingly, I will reap sparingly. And I like verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye have in all sufficiency, in all things, may abound to every good work. So how do we give God a reason to move? By giving. Here's another. We give God a reason to move and a reason to work by believing. Many times, brother, as Jesus went in His earthly ministry, He would come up in contact with a great need, whether it be leprosy, or whether it would be somebody blind, or whether it be somebody with a daughter that was dead. He would run up against them, such an impossible need, an incomparable need, a need so impossible man could not meet the need. Leprosy was incurable by man. Man could not raise anybody from the dead. Guess what? He would run up across these situations. He would meet up with their faith. And He would say to them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? That's what he asked the blind men. Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said, yea, Lord. And he honored their faith. He said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. I done quoted to you there, I believe it's Matthew 13:58. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Listen, we give God a reason to move when He looks down in your life and He sees you trusting Him. He sees you believing Him. He sees your faith, my friend, honoring Him and refusing to turn against Him. So believing. We give Him a reason to work by believing. We give Him a reason to work. Listen to this. We give Him a reason of work to work by evangelizing. You know what the Bible says? Listen, I run across this afternoon. And Luke, I believe it's Luke chapter 2, or Mark chapter 2. Let me find it. Mark chapter 2. Talking about the four men that carried the man sick of palsy to the Lord, tore the rooftop off, and let him down. And guess what the Bible says? And when Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know what gave Jesus a reason to move? Was when four men had it in their mind, had it in their heart, had it in their faith, that if we can get this man sick of palsy into the presence of Jesus, Jesus will do something for him. I tell you, buddy, we ought to have confidence in our hearts that if we could get sinners in the house of God and underneath the gospel, especially Him moving the way He's moving, that He'll do something in their life. That He'll do something in their life. How do we give Him a reason to move? Evangelize it. Make efforts to get somebody under the sound of the gospel. Amen? Witness to somebody. Invite them to the house of God. If nothing else, invite somebody to church. Everybody can hand out a gospel tract. But you cannot hand out a gospel tract if you don't have a gospel tract. Most of you men have got shirt pockets. Amen. And tracks fits in them really good. Unless you've got something else in there that ought not to be in there. How hard is that? How hard is it to take out a gospel tract? Sir, I'd like to give you a gospel tract. I'd like to share some good news with you. It's the greatest news I've ever heard in my life. It's the most wonderful news I've ever heard in my life, and it's free. I want you to read it in your spare time. I'd love for you to read. Greatest news. Greatest news ever. You'll never hear greater news nowhere in this world than what's in this gospel tract. Could I give it to you? They'll take it. They'll take it. Amen. Give them a gospel tract. Carry it with you. You know, I'll tell you, I've been sick. I've just been plumb sick before when God told me and impressed me. I felt impressed to give somebody a gospel tract and could not find one. Didn't have one, couldn't find one. Nobody nowhere had one. Boy, that's a bad feeling. I like it when I feel impressed to give one or leave one somewhere that I can just reach right there and have it. Get it. Keep it in your car. Ladies, you got pocketbooks. I know you do. Amen. And I mean they're big. Some of them are big. Surely somewhere in that pocketbook you can put some trash. We ought to have a problem often of running out of tracts. We've got access to Fellowship Tract Lead, Brother Silas, and we can get all the tracts we want free of charge. Midway Bible Baptist Church in Brevard, my friend where my brother used to pastor, is a mail-out station. They've got a section in the back of their church. It's like a little mini warehouse, and it is slammed full of tracts from floor to ceiling, all the way around and up and down the middle. It's full, and we can have all we want. We ought to run out of tracks often. Amen. Amen. Now, it ain't good, listen, while I'm on the track thing. It's not good to carry your tracks around, my friend, till they look like they've been run through the washing machine because you carried them in your pocket for 6 months and they're wrinkled up and they're faded and they've got grease on them and grass stains, and then hand it to somebody. Said, here, I've been carrying this for 2 years. I've never felt impressed to give it to nobody. I know it looks pretty bad.
Isn't that right? Amen? Say amen right there. Evangelize. Get them. These four men thought, man, if we can just get him in the presence of Jesus, Jesus will work. We'll give Jesus a reason to work. Jesus is not going to let a man sick of palsy be let down through a roof into his presence and into his service and him ignore him and not do something. We're going to give Jesus a reason to work. We're going to get somebody in his presence that needs him. Amen. 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 Well, you could run that on and on and on through Mark and Luke and John. There's just example after example after example. Let's give him a reason to work. I believe some are. I believe some are, Brother Craig. Let's keep doing it. Let the preacher today, let the preacher be fanning the fire. If you're making efforts to pray, listen, you know what you're doing? You're helping us. You're helping a church give him a reason to move. Keep praying, church. Step it up a notch. Let's step it up a notch. Find you a place when you're on the job. Listen, somewhere through that course of that day, Brother Brian, listen, if you've got time to stop me to sandwich, which I would have time to stop. I kind of got a habit, Brother Stout, of eating. But I want to tell you, listen, if you've got time to stop me, somewhere through that day, you've got time to stop and pray. You may not have 30 minutes to pray. You may not have, even 15 minutes to pray. But somewhere through that day, you can pray. Let's step up our prayer life. Let's step up our reading and our devotions to God's Word. Let's show Him that we're making efforts. Amen. I like this. Let's show Him that it's not just Him moving. Let's show Him, Lord, we're trying to give You reason to move, but also Your moving has given us reason to move.
Amen.
And we're going to move toward You as You move toward us. Amen. And something mighty big is going to happen when we're moving toward Him and He's a moving toward us. Because the Bible said, draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. Somewhere, if He's drawing nigh and you're drawing nigh, somewhere around through there, y'all going to meet. And when you have a meeting with God, it'll ruin you for this world. You're going to have a time. Amen. Let's give Him reason. Let's just keep giving Him reason to move. He's not going to move without a reason. Let's give Him reason. Give Him reason to move in your home. Give Him reason to move on the job. Give Him reason to move in your community, your neighborhood, and at our church. Let's keep giving Him reason. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time together. Thank You for these people. Lord, I just appreciate You putting us together for such a time as this. I am really honored, dear Father, to be the pastor of this church. Lord, I don't deserve it. I know that, and I feel that in my heart. But dear Lord Jesus, You've graced us. Lord, You've graced us to be here. And Lord, You've put people on these pews, dear Father, and we're just, Lord, desiring to be a team, dear Father, serving You and honoring You and going in the direction, Lord, that You want us to go in. And I'll praise You for that. Lord, I pray You'll take the message tonight and all of the singing and all the testifying and everything that was done and use it, Lord, for Your glory. And help us, dear Lord, as a people, as an individual, or as us as a church, or us as a family. Lord, help us, dear God, to give You a reason to work. Lord, there may be some young people that would like to get in this altar. And just simply, Lord, I want to start giving You reasons to use me. I want to start giving You reasons to work in my life and through my life. I want to give You reasons, Lord. I don't want what You're doing at RBT to just be what You're doing in response to the preacher and other few other people. Lord, I want to get on board. I want You to start answering some of my prayers. I want to give up some of my prayers and send up some of my prayers. I want to spend some time praying. I want to develop a life of devotion. I want to have a time of private walk with God. I do, because I want to give You a reason to work.